Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and John Osher.
All right, Osher's going to be along actually at 11 o'clock this morning, so we've got some open phone lines for you in the first hour if you'd like to get in on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday he requested. And we left it. What time? 1:15.
Yeah.
Osher at that point said he still had a couple hours to go down at the stadium. So we let him back it up a little bit today. And he'll join us about an hour from now and get his reaction to what went down last night. What can you say? No one will be trying, put it this way, to sugarcoat it, to make you feel any better about it. They stunk last night. But there is perspective that, again, if they go out and beat Green Bay, is anyone going to care or ever think about that game again? No.
No.
Now, if they come out and struggle mightily like they did last night against Green Bay, then you're going to point to that and say, hey, here was an indicator and we saw it come. The problem is you can't know. And, even if they did that against Green Bay, Tony, as Jeff and Dan were saying this morning, they're not going 16-0. You may lose that Green Bay game. Regardless of how you played last night, what if you went up and down the field on Cincinnati and still came out and lost to Green Bay? Is that going to make you feel any better? I doubt it.
I doubt it. And look, I think we've been trying to say this through the first couple of preseason games. I even joked about it after the first one when Gerard was in studio with us, where I prefaced it by saying, that was a completely meaningless game. Now let me tell you what it means.
Right.
Right? And that's kind of the preseason. That's the whole thing with the preseason. It's not that it's completely meaningless. It's that the results don't mean anything. You do want to see your ones go out there and be a whole heck of a lot more competitive than they were last night. And there's no sugarcoating that. They were terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they were in all facets of it, they were terrible. And some of the decisions that were made, and I get it, it's preseason, you're playing around with stuff, but I'm telling you, the touchdown pass to Giovanni Bernard, it was chaos on the field defensively for the Jaguars on that snap. Like, you could tell before they snapped the ball, it's like, this is bad. Like, whatever they're trying to do here, this is bad. They got six guys on the field. You got Sipp and Evans were both over there on that side. Neither of them looked like they knew exactly what they were supposed to do.
Which guy is my guy?
Right.
Yeah.
They had three defensive linemen. Malik Jackson wasn't on the field. It's the first third down and an opportunity to get after the quarterback. And I'm in my head, I'm going, what are we doing? Like, just what are we doing? I get the idea of we want to play around with some different stuff. Gus Bradley apparently said it on Thursday night. We're going to have different starters in different places and trying a bunch of different things. It's the preseason, so hopefully what they learned last night was that whole dime package with Cindric Marks instead of Malik Jackson and Yannick and Dante on the field and Josh Evans as our sixth defensive back, they need to throw that one away because that doesn't work for this football team. And hopefully that's the kind of lesson that they learned last night from trying those kinds of things, and we don't see it. But it is preseason, and in the end, if they had beaten the tar out of the Bengals last night and then played that way against the Green Bay Packers, who the hell cares what they did in the preseason?
And that's what we mean by it doesn't mean anything. I just got this text on the text line driven by Duval Ford. We mean the game doesn't mean anything. We got manhandled on both lines, couldn't move the ball or stop them, on and on and on. All these things are true, but what Tony's saying is the most important truth of all. If they play great yesterday and they stink against Green Bay, what does that great play mean?
It just means nothing. You feel good for two more weeks.
Exactly, and that's what it means. But again, if this is an indicator of a deeply seated issue, we don't know that because the first couple weeks when it was ones versus ones, the offense had a lot more success. Hey, look, I'm concerned about the defense, Tony. A.J. Green basically didn't play last night. Tyler Eifert not going to play. Croft, his backup, wasn't in there. So you've got a vastly depleted Cincinnati offensive set of weapons, and they just had their way with Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard against this team.
And A.J. looked like he could have had what he wanted last night, too. I know the play where Tashaun Gibson came over and made the play at the goal line, I was watching that snap because it was Ramsey lined up in the slot against A.J. Green. And I was like, here we go. You know, I want to watch this guy. And A.J. basically just took off and ran by him. Just ran by him, and Ramsey was in full chase mode. Now, that's a play that, you know, for the last couple of years, it's probably an easy touchdown for whoever's playing the Jags because the safety's not getting over. That's why you bring in Gibson, too. And he gets credit for that.
Sure.
Right? Like, that's part of it. It's kind of like the first play where Puzlesny, on that first drive, where he's chasing the tight end in the back of the end zone, and the tight end's wide open. Right? He's 3 yards behind him. But there's pressure on Andy Dalton. So the throw's not accurate enough for them to complete that pass. They get credit for that too, right? Like, that's the defense making a play. You pressured him. He made a bad throw. You get some credit for that. Now you still look at Puzlesny and go, ooh, Like, what's he doing in coverage on that kind of play? I'd much rather see Miles Jack chasing the tight end than I would Paul Posluszny. That doesn't mean they didn't make any plays last night. It was just they were so few and far between.
Right.
I mean, it was especially compared to the first couple weeks of the preseason where you felt like something was turning a little bit for this football team. The boxes that we talk about getting checked where, you know, the offense starts fast and they're getting pressure on the quarterback on third down and getting off the field. These kind of things that we had been stories throughout the offseason. Well, last night, the only box that you can even say they checked was they came out healthy. That's it.
It is the most important box.
And while it may be the most important box, they played a football game too.
I understand.
And it feels like anything that you wanted to see them get out of that football game, they didn't get. It's just a wasted opportunity.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. We'll come back with your phone calls and reaction for the next half an hour or so if you'd like to get in. 641-1010 is the number. Also, the text line driven by Duval Ford. Question of the day, we're going to ask you after every Jags game this year, what are your reactions? What did you see, good and bad? Understanding the good may be a very short list, a finite list. That's fine. What is your reaction to some specifics that what you may have liked, certainly what you didn't like? We know there's plenty of that to choose from as well. So your reactions to the Jags preseason game versus the Bengals. I think I tweeted out the Bucks. I did. I gotta fix that. Oops. I'm sure I've got. Well, the thing was,
I retweeted it before I saw it.
I copy and pasted it and from the Facebook page, and I edited it on the Facebook page, and then I forgot to edit it when I pasted it into Twitter. So oops. My bad.
Yeah, I saw like the first response was, do you mean the Bengals?
Sure I probably got 50 just like that.
And I told him, look, it's been a long night and an early morning for all of us. If you'd rather react to the Bucks game, I'd understand.
It doesn't really matter to me, right? Honestly, I don't get paid by the Twitter click. So, all right, moving along. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, Reaction Monday to what we saw yesterday. The good news is, in 2 weeks, 0-0. That's how you're starting. The bad news is, well, like Tony said, they did play a football game last night, and if you watched it, you know what the bad news was. All right, let's get into it with your calls. Coming up next with Fat Tony, with Tyler Devitt, John Osier on the way in about 45 minutes. I'm Mike Dempsey's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University.
Well, we played pretty bad. You know, I don't think they did a whole lot of things to stop us. We played pretty bad at every position, and usually that's what happens when you play bad. You don't score a lot of points.
That's Luke. It's not Luke Jokel. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm reading a text.
That's our pro quarterback.
I know. I'm reading a text with Jokel's name right in front of me. Apologies.
Oh, it's fantastic. Bortles. Did you see, like, the Tafoya question? It was, like, basically, like, it's such a good test, you know, week three of the preseason, and, you know, what do you feel like you learned from it? We played pretty bad.
Well, we played pretty bad. you know, I don't think they did a whole lot of things to stop us. We played pretty bad at every position, and usually that's what happens when you play bad. You don't score a lot of points.
I agree they played bad. I do hate the not giving your opponent any credit. It's, oh, we just played bad, had nothing to do with the Bengals. Nothing to do with the Bengals whatsoever. I don't love that. You know, I mean, whatever. Say what you want. Words don't mean the same as results in the National Football League. So you can say anything you like. I understand the sentiment, I suppose, but you know, you got beat. It's, and again, it's preseason. So in 2 weeks, beat Green Bay, and no one's going to care. But we got 2 weeks to go to get to that point, and there's no guarantee that that happens.
No, there's not. And look, I'm looking forward to having Loggeman in tomorrow because I do have questions about what I thought looked like just a weird game plan for this team coming into this game, where it's the first one where you're really game planning a little bit for a preseason game. The third down stuff, just I didn't understand what they were doing. And maybe I'm making too much of it. I don't know. He can come in tomorrow and call me an idiot. I'm fine with that. Right, but I'm watching the game, and when the $90 million man's coming off the field so they can have three down linemen and six defensive backs, I'm going, what are we doing?
If you're having three down linemen, why isn't he one of them?
Right. What are we doing? Like, I just don't understand what we're trying here at this point in the preseason. Maybe you just want to get a look at the dime package? I don't know. I know it was bad enough that I don't ever need to see it again in 2016.
Let's get some calls going here. 641-1010, your reaction to week three of the preseason. Let's go to Steve in Pontevedra to lead things off on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, bud. What's up?
Hey, so I was watching the game, and, you know, yeah, we made it out with no injuries, but I figure it seems like our whole team's injured. You know, we've got Dante Fowler with a big knee brace on. Who knows about him? You've got Beecham, who's blown out knee, you're recovering. You know, you got, you know, the list goes on and on, you know, the people that are coming back from injuries. You know, and Miles Jack, to me, is playing very soft. I mean, he's nothing like he was in college. I mean, you show those videos, and I'm like, it's not, I mean, he plays very soft. He's not even, when he hits somebody, it's like, are you really hitting them? I mean, what's going on with that?
I couldn't disagree with you more on Miles Jack.
I don't see that at all.
I still think every time he gets to the ball, it's a car wreck. I really do. I think there's an explosion to when Miles Jack gets to ball carriers and has been throughout the preseason. Now, it may not be what it was at UCLA when he's going up against guys that aren't going to play in the league and are slower than him, significantly slower than him, significantly smaller than him. Is he blowing those guys up more than he is NFL players? Probably. But I still think it's been a car wreck every time he gets to the ball.
And for me, you know, I look at talking about injuries, Dante Fowler's not hurt. To our knowledge, right, there's been no setback, right,
no.
About Dante Fowler. So, yeah, he was returning off an ACL that he tore, what was it, Tony, 16 months ago, 17 months? I mean, it's a long time, well outside the window of full recovery. So, you know, in that sense, look, there are plenty of guys around the league that tore ACLs that are back out on the field. In that sense, every team's got is injured. This is Gus, by the way, talking about Miles Jack and what he's seen from him in the preseason.
Just similar to Yannick, we need to see him with the ones. Ash got some reps with the ones. We wanted to see him with the ones and see if he could carry it over. So to run the whole defense out there in base and in nickel, you know, the experience that Miles had tonight, invaluable. You know, we could look at Miles. You know, Miles is a guy that's got is very talented, and we put a lot on him at Mike. And it could be a situation where he's got to be ready to play multiple positions. So having this as a foundation for him, I think will help us maybe get him reps at some other positions too.
Well, I'm sure there's been some hesitancy at times for Miles Jack out there, and I think that is exactly what it stems from. He's got his head right now swimming a little bit, and it's probably getting better every day, little by little, incrementally. But he's in charge of calling the defense, making sure everybody's lined up, and then knowing what his responsibility is, and then, oh, yeah, just react and play the play on top of that. So, you know, he's a first-year player who hasn't played a lot of football in the last 2 years. So
and playing a new position at a whole new level.
I'm not worried about Miles Jack from what I've seen. I think he's coming along nicely. But, Steve, we appreciate the call. Not everybody sees it the same way. Let's go to Sebastian. Where is he at? St. John's County. All right, St. John's County. Hi, Sebastian. How are you?
Good, guys. How about yourself?
Great. What's up?
I just have a question. Whenever you guys get Tony Boselli back on the show, I remember he made a statement last year. He said that Luke Jokel has the talent to play in this league. And I was very hopeful that he was right, but I'm starting to have my doubts after yesterday because I feel like today they're still trying to pull him out of the grass. He couldn't play left tackle. They're trying him at guard. He got absolutely bulldozed, albeit against Geno Atkins, but I just don't see how Luke can help this team. And if he's one of our best five offensive linemen, then we might be in trouble. And I was just wondering what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, look, you're going to get beat by Geno Atkins. Occasionally, you're going to get embarrassed by Geno Atkins. Luke Jokel got thrown on his back three times in the first half last night. One of them was Michael Johnson when he was playing left tackle.
Yeah.
He got thrown into his quarterback's legs.
And Blake still, that was that first third down conversion.
Right.
He still got the ball out to Julius Thomas.
Right, but that was a dangerous play for your quarterback right there.
I saw the Pro Football Focus guys who everyone gives a hard time to. Like, they tweeted out basically the gif of Jokel being thrown back, and it's like, on this play, we downgrade Luke Jokel. It doesn't matter if the play's successful. On this one, we give him a very negative grade, right? And it's just watching Geno Atkins just like he was a sled, pushing him back into Blake Bortles. Look, I don't know. Like, it's, again, kind of the whole thing of last night. It's a picture of that where Jaguars fans, and we've covered this team, we got 3 years of this. It looked like the past 3 years. Last night, and it looked like the past 2 years with Luke Jokel last night. And while he may have been solid through the first couple games, and it may not really be an indication of what it's going to be like with Luke Jokel at guard, I don't know. It's preseason. I don't know if that's what it's going to look like if they put him as a starting left guard against the Green Bay Packers. But I have a couple years of watching Luke Jokel and seeing that happen to him and going, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, can we continue to put that on the field? And for that to be the first experience he has of that position, and I get it, it's Geno Atkins, but Geno ain't doing that to everybody. He's doing – that's how guys like that get 10 sacks a year. It's because they get to go against somebody like that a couple times.
Go look at Whitney Mercilus
right.
last year against his team.
That's right. And they go get those two or three sacks that week, and then they only got to get one every 4 weeks after that.
Right.
But they beat up the guy that they're supposed to beat up, and that's what it looked like last night.
Thank you for the call. Sebastian Justin is up in Atlanta checking in next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, bud. What's up?
Hey, I think you guys hit the nail on the head as far as the coaching goes. Everything they did last night, none of it made any sense whatsoever. I was completely confused as to what, because they built it up like prior to the game saying, oh, this is going to be a test. It's going to be a test. It's going to be a test. And they don't even have the starters out there for the entire first half of the game. And secondly, I wanted to see, I mean, I think it's things like that that's going to get Gus Bradley fired. I mean, if that is, you know, because that's just crazy the way they did it. But did you guys happen to watch Kelvin Beachum last night? Because I didn't get to see him that much throughout the game. And if you did, how did he do?
It's for me, I'm watching because I'm in the radio studio. I'm watching the TV feed. I can't really focus in on him as much. I, you know, with offensive linemen, Tony, unless they're getting thrown into the backfield, a lot of times you don't
say.
You don't notice what they do.
It was
you know?
Hard to recognize Beachum with the car wreck next to him.
Right.
I mean, it was like, what is happening on the left side? And then they show the replay, and it's like, oh, okay.
I'm not going to pretend to be able to grade great offensive line, but we can all see when somebody pile drives a block and, you know,
sure.
pancakes a defensive line. We can all see
that.
Sully
will be on tonight on Jaguars Monday.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure he'll talk extensively about it.
We can see, like anyone else, we can see the extreme, good end, bad end, you know, the intricacies, how is he moving, how all these things to look for. I don't have the eye that a Tony Boselli has on stuff like that. So I will, as I said last night in the post game, I'll defer to the coaching staff. You know, as much as we trust Dave Caldwell, who said early on this summer, Brandon Linder, no question, this guy's going to make the superstar transition to center, and you've heard nothing against that. They're the guys who see him every day. They know him. They know what he looks like every snap in practice. We'll see what their evaluation was of Beachum. You know, is it, hey, solid, good first effort, or is it, hey, wow, he really surprised us with how well he was able to not only play but get through that and recover the next day. So I didn't see anything blatantly terrible.
I could tell you the offense was bad last night.
Right.
And whether that's because Beachum and Joku were playing the left side of the offensive line or a myriad of factors, I don't know. I know it wasn't as good as it was for the first couple weeks last night.
Let's get, what do we got here? Jay, is that, where do you want to go? John on the north side? All right, John on the north side is up next. Hi, John, how are you?
Hey, good. How y'all doing?
Good, what's up?
Hey, I'm not worried about everything that these fans are saying. Listen, I'm not worried about what's going on. I know we played bad last night, but the first three games that all this new defense, all these new players have got on the field and played with each other. So you can't, and this is the first good team, the Bengals. So, I mean, you can't really, I'm not going to criticize them too much because the first three games, we're going to play, if we play decent against the Packers, and if we still lose, I'm still not mad at them. But I've been saying we're going to go 10-6, but I'm just not going to give them too much criticism, man, like all these other people are doing.
Well, that's your prerogative. That's your prerogative,
that's
man.
Fine.
I totally understand any Jag fan that sat around and watched their team win 14 games in 4 years who is nervous or critical or whatever. You have every right to be, you know. And, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe John's right. Hey, look, that's certainly among the possible outcomes that this is meaningless and it's not going to be a reflection of how they play in the regular season. 13 days can't go by fast enough to try to test that theory.
I know. And look, I think I'm more along those lines. You know, when everything is said and done, I look through the first couple weeks of the preseason and I say they were checking boxes, but they don't mean much. And in the third preseason game, they didn't check any. Right, so I'm not going to go into full-on panic mode. And again, I'm not a fan. I'm just a guy who covers the team. But I'm not going to go into full-on panic mode. My expectations didn't change based on what I saw in the first couple weeks. And they're not going to change based on what I saw last night. I still take it all as this is preseason football. And in the end, it doesn't mean much when we actually get to the regular season and it really starts flying around. The concerning thing is it looks like what it looked like in 2015 and 14 and 13. It's getting a glimpse of that you were hopefully leaving that behind you for forever. Like, that was gone. Them having that kind of performance you were hoping was completely gone. So I still look at it as preseason game. Doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot to me, but man, is it disappointing to see it show up this early in this season again.
Here's one, and we'll end this segment on this note, and we'll take more of your calls coming up in a moment on the text line driven by Duval Ford. It's preseason. Are you fans serious? But Joker was horrible, and Henny was horrible as usual. Sign a better backup. So, wait, it's preseason. Everyone's overreacting except you who are reacting to the ones that you think played poorly. Okay? Way to be consistent there. I didn't think Henny was horrible. I
thought he was pretty good last
time. I thought he was – look, he's not efficient, right? He was like 7 out of 18 passing, but he did move the ball. He made a few plays. He actually escaped pressure a few times in the pocket. Now, does he get balls tipped? Yes. Have you ever watched him play? That's what he does, okay?
Sure
he gets balls tipped, all right? That, it happens, but I actually thought Henny was okay last night. Not that you want him starting, you know, but in a break glass in case of emergency situation, I've seen worse quarterback play in the preseason than I saw from Chad Henny last night. I didn't think But last night, Henny is way down the list of the problems this football team. All right. 641-1010, both the phone line and the text line driven by Duval Ford. You can tweet us up at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, as well as the Jaguars Today Facebook page open for business. John Osier about 30 minutes away from Jaguars.com. Your call straight ahead on Jaguars Today on 1010XL on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. 1010XL on 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jags completed a monster 18-point comeback in the 26-21 win over the Bengals last night. The first team often struggled in the first half with the Bengals outgaining the Jags 163-90. Blake Bortles struggled, going 10 for 16 for 52 yards. But he says it's good to get the hiccups out of the way now.
To go through, been pretty good the first 2 weeks of preseason, and to have this, a wake-up call or whatever you want to call it, I think to just make sure everybody knows you have to be on it at all times in order to be successful in this league and move the ball.
Some notes from the game last night was the debut of Kelvin Beachum, who started at left tackle, with Luke Jokel starting at left guard. And rookie defensive end Yannick Ngakoue started ahead of second-year veteran Dante Fowler Jr. at Leo. Bradley said the move was to get Ngakoue reps with the first-team defense. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
Second and 17 now, nearing the 8-minute mark in the game. Bengals from the 45-yard line of Jacksonville. Shotgun this time. Licata fires. That's going to be intercepted. Hayes Pillard's going to pick it off, and he's got nothing but green grass ahead of him. 20, 10, 5, touchdown Jacksonville on a pick six by Hayes Pillard.
He did a great job. His drop and how he read the quarterback and how he read the passes and the formation and the routes. I mean, he put it all together. It was a great play. It was a great play by him.
All right, that Veal Picata guy, or Joe Licata, whatever his name is, if nothing else, he learned you don't come into the game in the fourth quarter and test Hayes Pillard over the middle, buddy. Or it's going back for six. Quick, Tony. Hayes Pillard. Hey, look, Hayes, if he had checked in, he would have had one of the all-time preseason performances by the Jaguars, scoring on offense and defense last night with four tackles. And look, for guys like him, that kind of stuff is very important, right? In the big picture, we don't care, you and I, when I say we, you and I don't care about the final score outcome of the game.
No.
But for Hayes Pillard to put that on film and to put that impression in the Jags' mind, as I heard Tony and Tony Boselli and Jeff Logman discussing the linebackers and the numbers, and, you know, does it come down to Jordan Tripp versus Pillard? Is Ryan Davis in a three-way battle for two spots kind of thing, depending on the math, how many he decide to keep there? So, you know, he didn't hurt himself last night. It was a dumb play to not check in on offense, but that is a correctable mental error. Made a nice catch on that ball, by the way, out of the backfield. And I really think they showed it, because when they ran it, I was like, why are you showing this? It's kind of a trick play. Why are you showing this? And I think they did it precisely for that reason, that when you came out there and you see this guy lined up at fullback and Chris Ivory's in the game and they're in a bunch package, Tony, they're going to ram it right up the middle. Now, at least, when you're scouting the Jags, you got to at least be prepared for the possibility that they're going to run something tricky, and maybe that half-second hesitation by one or two guys on the defensive side is all you need to – you know, dent the end zone. And I think that's why they did it last night. Like,
sure.
That.
Now, that was in the middle of a very weird series of plays down there on the goal line, including it was nice to get a wide receiver isolated on one side of the field. I don't know if I would have thrown the fade to the shortest guy on the field at that point, to Marquise Lee. And look,
I'm not a fade hater like a lot of people are. And I understand, because Blake hasn't been great at it, but throw it to your big, tall.
Throw it to your big guy.
Come on.
Don't run a fade with Marquise Lee in that part of the field. Maybe you run a slant, something like that, towards the middle of the field that's a little bit easier throw and maybe a bit higher percentage throw than a fade to Marquise Lee. I don't have an issue with the fade route. I really don't, because I think they got big enough guys that it needs to be a weapon for this offense. For it to be fully effective, the fade needs to be a part of this offense, and they need to figure out how to make it work. Because Julius and Robinson and Hearns, these guys are too big not to. Mercedes, yep. They're too big not to have that be a part of it and for you to just eliminate it on the goal line because we just don't do it very well. It needs to work. It doesn't need to work to Marquise Lee.
Yeah, and everyone said, oh, it was a good throw by Blake. What? I don't know. Was it? It seemed like a pretty low throw that was easily batted away.
May have like almost hit the defender in the helmet.
I mean, all right, whatever. There are a lot of things to question, and we'll turn back to the phone lines and let you do just that. Chris is in St. Augustine at 641-1010. The number, Chris, you're on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? What's going on, Tony?
What's up?
I just want to call to tell everybody who's saying don't panic because it's the preseason that it is time to panic. And this is not new panic. This is not fresh panic that is sprung up from the preseason activity. This is carryover panic.
We've seen this before, panic is what you're saying.
That's right. This is 12-36 panic carrying over into the season. This is panic from everybody telling us that these off-season moves and the draft classes are going to be fruitful and gaining us wins. And when we play, which I think we can all agree was a top 8 team last night, we got destroyed in every facet of the game on both lines of scrimmage. Our quarterback was you know, who I love Blake Bortles, he's fantastic, but he was mildly ineffective last night against, you know, most of that defense for the first half. So there was not really, the secondary, which was supposed to be fixed, got shredded by Andy Dalton, who I realize is a top-tier quarterback, but he's not Tom Brady and he's not Aaron Rodgers who's walking in here week one. So it's time to panic. So everybody who's going to call inevitably today and say it's just the preseason, no, it's not just the preseason. It's 12-36. It's the history of this team. Panic with us, people.
All right. Hey, listen, I appreciate it, Chris. I'm not advocating panic, but I am defending your right to feel that way as a fan. You know, look, Andy Dalton, by the way, threw for 77 yards last night. Let's not overstate what he did through the air, because he didn't hit a big place to the outside guys. I didn't think, Tony, he killed you with the backs coming out of the backfield last night. It was an effective offense. I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. I didn't look at that saying, wow, the first team secondary just got shredded last night. That's not the feeling I got in the game. Keep in mind, for people saying, I got a tweet in or a text in this morning that said, hey, it was basically 14-7 against one of the best teams in the league. Well, it wasn't basically 14. You can't count the touchdowns that you don't score. Okay, so it was 14-3 with a field goal that clanked off the upright. Going in, and then once they came out in the second half, your second team's allowed to stop their second team, and in less than 1 minute, bang, 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 right down the field, Demetrius McCray gets burned for 53 yards, and you got that sloppy, you know, mistackling, ugly, let's just let this guy skate in, Erickson fellow right across the middle with the touchdown, and you had a feeling Andy Dalton was out of the first half, Tony. It's not like he played the entire first half. They saw enough. They say, all right, we feel pretty good. We know where we're at. We are a good team coming off a 12-4 season. We've seen enough. Shut it down. AJ got his knee banged up. Enough. We're going to get out of here. And they did their job. They felt like they accomplished what they needed to. And I'm sure they felt like if it needed to go on and add more to that total, they would have been quite capable of doing that last night.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, it feels like sometimes there are some listeners or fans out there who expect us to, I guess, toe the Jaguars company line at times. And almost like it's our job to try to convince them of something, you know, like this isn't the reality. You know, like 12-36 isn't real. Like it's an illusion and this year's going to be so much better. I don't ever feel like that's been my job. And like last night, because I don't take the preseason all that seriously, I don't feel like I need to defend it. I'll criticize the people I think need to be criticized based on what I saw last night, but I also, I think that needs to be taken with a bit of a grain of salt in that it is still the preseason.
Sure.
And for fans that, again, you've been dealing with 12-36 to see it and to go, here it is again. Like, it is this kind of repeat of what you've seen that's led them to win 12 games out of 48 in the last 3 years. So if you want to look at it last night and go, there it is again. We're not any better. We're just not any better. I don't care what I saw through the first 2 weeks of the preseason or how much talent they've added this offseason. They're not any better. I think the talent level on this team has risen to a point where they're going to be better in 2016 than they were in 2015. What that's going to look like, I don't know, but I expect them to be better and much, much better than that we saw last night on a national stage and what is supposedly the dress rehearsal for the regular season.
It's a shame T.J. Yeldon fumbled that ball because I thought he was a standout otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
6.8 yards a carry. He looked really
shifty.
Good. Shifty, nice move to make a guy miss on the coming up the right side. He's got a good burst right now. He's catching the ball very fluidly, and I thought that one on the sideline was very close to being complete as well. But he did cough it up, and as Fred Taylor said, all that other stuff, forget it. You put it on the ground, it negates everything. That's Fred talking as a 11,000-yard running back in the National Football League. It's a man who knows what he's talking about. Let me get Wayne in Mandarin before we break here. Hi, Wayne.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing I got, the feeling I got last night was the crowd was just electric when we got there. I mean, they were really pumped up. You walk into that new stadium, and all of those millions of dollars, the improvements are just astounding. There's a tendency to just kind of go, wow. And then we come out, and first thing out of the bag, we fumble, lose the ball. They go in, and they score a touchdown. And we say, here we go, same song, 50th verse. And I would say we not only got beaten last night, we got schooled last night. It seemed like we had a team who knew what they were doing, playing a team that they didn't know what they were doing. And with Pollard, wouldn't you even tell, when they first put that play in, wouldn't you say, now listen, check in. This is not a high school kid. This is a pro. He missed a chance of a lifetime there. And again, it was another missed opportunity, and the crowd gets more negative and more negative, and boy, they're out of there at the half. And, I mean, it's the same song, 50th verse. And sooner or later, they're going to start pointing fingers, not at the team, but at the coaching staff. Don't you agree?
Oh, Wayne, are you kidding? Sooner or later? Did you miss last season? It's begun a long time ago. I get your point. Look, the crowd was phenomenal, I thought, last night. From what it looked spectacular on TV. It really looked like this was a Sunday night football atmosphere, and that was very disappointing. Look, it doesn't matter in the end what somebody in Poughkeepsie or Washington State or whatever feels about your football team, because it's not college football where they vote based on their feelings of how good you are without ever matching everybody up. The standings are all the respect you need, so go out and take your respect from the National Football League. So I'm not, we missed an opportunity for people nationally to see what we're doing down here. Who cares? I don't care about that, because they can respect you or not respect you. They can't deny you, though, if you win enough games to get into the postseason. And
it's a results league.
Right. It's a results bottom line league, and the bottom line needs to be a lot better than it's been. We got to take a timeout, Tony. We'll come back. John Osher is going to join us. We got This Date in Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. More of your reaction on the phone lines as well on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, This Date in Football History.
All right, This Date in Football History brought to you all week long by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Oh, come on, regular season. Get here, baby. Because on this date in football history, Tony, the second annual Chicago All-Star game was played. How they ever made it to a third after this barn burner in front of 77,450 back in 1935. The Chicago Bears, defending NFL champs, beat the collective collegiate All-Stars. Want to guess the score? Shutout victory.
65-0.
5-0. How about the exciting 5-0, the rare 5 spot that the Bears
football's
put up
on the map, baby. Oh, play football.
Let's play this game for another 40-something years after that. Unbelievable. Birthdays for this date, 1962. Longtime NFL linebacker, primarily with the New York Giants. Carl Banks, very good player. 54 years old today. Longtime Jacksonville Jaguars, 7th round pick, 241st overall in the 2000 NFL draft. Rob Meyer, born on this date. Happy birthday to Rob Meyer, 39 years young today. Jamal Lewis, former Ravens running back, born on this date 37 years ago. Only made one Pro Bowl, but in 2003 became one of only a handful of players to go over 2,000 yards. 2,066 to be precise, on the ground. He was the Pro Football Writers Association of America most valuable player that year, the AP Offensive Player of the Year, and ended up being a Pro Football Hall of Fame second team in the All 2000 squad from 2000 to 2009. Also born in this date, one of our personal favorites here, Andrew Jackson High School, Florida State University, multiple teams in the National Football League, and a coaching intern with your Jacksonville Jaguars in 2016. Hey, Leon, happy birthday. Leon Washington, 34 years young today, two-time Pro Bowler and a one-time first-team All-Pro as a return man extraordinaire. in the National Football League, one of our favorite guys, Leon Washington. Happy birthday. That is This Date in Football History, brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. If you're in the market for a family dentist, maybe you need some cosmetic work done, call 620-9225. Find out what Dr. McCall's office can do for you. You can visit jamesjmccall.com and get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is This Date in Football History.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, teams around the league cutting down to 75 earlier this week. There have been a couple of notable releases already. Former Jaguars defensive tackle Terrence Knighton has been released by the New England Patriots. Rush linebacker Paul Kruger has been released by the Cleveland Browns. Brian Stork, who was traded last week from New England to Washington, apparently failed his physical with the Redskins, and he will be sent back to New England. No conditional seventh-round pick going New England's way, so we'll see how they handle it from here.
Any chance the Redskins got to know Brian Stork a little bit?
Yeah, they met him and said, wait a second.
Hold on.
Buyer's remorse. Philadelphia's Jordan Matthews back at practice today, the wide receiver with the Eagles, and says he should be good to go for the regular season opener for Philadelphia. The big news in the NFL this weekend, clearly the injury to Dallas quarterback Tony Romo after an MRI on Friday night revealed that Romo suffered a compression fracture in his back. That is expected to keep him out anywhere from 8 to 10 weeks, though head coach Jason Garrett still not willing to confirm any kind of timeline. It has cleared the way for Dak Prescott, who has been the star of the 2016 preseason, to become the first rookie quarterback to get a start in the NFL during the upcoming regular season. Number one overall pick Jared Goff is expected to start at the Rams' backup. And number two overall pick Carson Wentz hasn't played since week one of the preseason for the Eagles with a rib injury. And Denver appears to be leaning towards Trevor Siemian. So Dak Prescott, the fourth-round quarterback out of Mississippi State, appears to be the first rookie to get the nod out of the 2016 quarterback class. And the other headline grabber this weekend was San Francisco quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who refused to stand for the national anthem on Friday night after saying and said after the game, quote, "I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder." Yesterday, Cap talked to the media in the 49ers locker room so that he will continue to sit during the anthem and went on to strongly criticize both major party presidential candidates. Cap said he realizes the talk has been mostly about him over the weekend, but followed that up by saying, quote, "That wasn't my intention at all. I think now that we have those things cleared up, we can get to the root of what I was saying and really address those issues." Some reports coming out of San Francisco yesterday that Kaepernick could be on the chopping block for football reasons, of course. It wouldn't have anything to do with the stance he's been taking in public the last couple days.
Look, there are some legitimate football reasons. You could probably say he might be on the roster bubble. I don't want to get too deep into this today because we got a lot to talk about here locally. I do support his right to protest. As the United States of America, I think most people do. I support everyone's
absolutely
right to have
yeah
their own reaction to that protest as well. The one thing I hear the critique, well, what are you doing about it? Some people draw attention to issues. They have a platform, and that is their way of doing something. Not everyone, you know, everyone who's ever marched in a protest, what have they done about it other than march in a protest? Does marching in a protest solve anything? Not necessarily, right? So, I mean, I'm not going to fault the guy for trying to do what I believe. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he did this with the best intentions. And you have the right to feel however you like. If you feel like he, is denigrating servicemen and women, which he said that was absolutely not his intent, that's an understandable reaction.
Yeah.
Anytime anyone doesn't show the reverence to the Star Spangled Banner, the American flag, when it's displayed in certain settings, I understand all that.
Sure. Look, it's America. He has the right to sit down during the anthem if he wants to. And because it's America, everyone can criticize him as loudly as they want.
I just don't understand. You know, I hear people saying this is all about Colin Kaepernick. Look at me. Look at me. What does it gain him? I mean, what is it, honestly, what
nothing
does it individually gain?
Honestly,
all it does is hurt him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick's got millions of bucks. He's above the fray, right? He is not treated as, you know, money gets you a different reaction, right? That's just life and society, and right or wrong, it's true. So I don't know how this benefits him, really. So, you know, the idea that he's just doing this to, I don't know, get attention for himself?
That's what,
to what end?
To me, yeah.
I'm not sure what end that would be. All right, let's welcome in John Osier.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah. Here he is.
Oh, yeah.
Jaguars.com. You get a shut eye last night?
Yeah, it was all right.
What time did you get out of there?
Out of there around, gosh, I can't remember, maybe 1:30, and then I had to work once I got home. So I got to bed around, I don't know, 3, 3:30.
Yeah.
So,
all right. It's, part of mine's self-inflicted because I went home last night. I didn't want my shows to stack up.
You just went home and went hard.
And I went home and I got home at about 2:15,
right.
Something like that. And Fear the Walking Dead replay came on at 3, so I had to stay up until 4, and that was my own choice. That factored in. Was that his mic right there, Tyler?
Yeah, I think his mic's going on. We'll have to switch him.
Quit moving that mic, Osher. We have to come over there.
I'm good.
Box your ears, Al. Give me a couple of sentences to sum up your initial reaction to what you saw last night.
Obviously not how they wanted to play. Obviously the Bengals looked better on both lines of scrimmage. That's a concern. I think if you expected the Jaguars to be an absolute elite team, I don't think necessarily the fact that you don't match up against the Bengals means you're a bad team this year. But they certainly wanted to play better than they did, and it was not the performance they wanted. I don't think it's going to define their season, but it certainly shows them that they're not there yet if you thought they were.
Right. Look, it's not going to define their season, but you wonder, is it an indicator of what's to come? And you don't know that.
Right.
And my point earlier was, John, if the Patriots do this, if this year's Panthers were to do this, they've got a track record. They say, you know what, Aaron Rodgers said last year, relax.
Right.
It's going to be fine. Because you've been there, done that, and you believe that. With the Jags, they just don't have that kind of track record built up.
Yeah, and it's obviously the kind of game, you guys know it, I'm sure, from listening to people call, that all of a sudden everything that they did the first 2 weeks doesn't count now. They're the worst team in NFL history. It's awful. They can't, you know, and I get that because it's what we have to go on, and preseason week 3 is what we all built up as – this is the best gauge, and it is the closest thing to a real regular season game. But again, I don't think this necessarily means that they can't compete with, you know, most of the 32 teams in the league. If they played Cincinnati during the regular season, I don't know that they would ever be favorites in that game, no matter where. I think Cincinnati is a better roster, a more developed team than them right now. At the same time, you would have liked it to have looked more competitive on the line of scrimmages.
Yeah, I agree with that. We'll get more into your thoughts on this, but we got a bunch of folks on the line, so let's get your reaction to what they have to say as well. Starting next with Harold on the west side here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Harold.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
You know, there are definitely some things that concern me. I don't want to pick on Luke Jokel too much. You guys have already touched on that. But on defense, the closest thing we have to a guy that offenses have to plan for is Jonathan Cyprien. That's only because a large portion of their offensive success depends upon picking on him. That definitely scares me. But that being said, I do think the defense is going to be better, and Gibson shows that he can cover the field. And I think people are forgetting that, you know, during the regular season, the second half is also a thing. The Jaguars did look good in the second half of the games. But the game did have that feeling last night that if it was a real game in the regular season, that the Bengals would have been able to pick their score. And, you know, if that doesn't concern you as a fan of this team after what you've seen in the past few years, at least a little bit, I don't know what to say.
No, I agree with you. I think there's room for legitimate concern when you look at a team. Again, a franchise that's won 14 games in 4 years. But how much weight do we give to that concern, John, is the question.
And I thought the same thing. As you looked at it, I looked at it two ways last night. The first one was, boy, 14-3. And as I wrote on Jaguars.com, that's kind of how the game felt. 14-3 when the starters left. And when you looked at the game, it sort of felt like a game that the Bengals were 10 points better. At the same time, as poorly as the Jaguars played, a lot of the score could be attributed to the fact that, you know, you fumble inside your own territory, they go right down and get a score. And then the offense was able to, I thought, mount a very good drive, get back, and probably should have gotten a touchdown on the drive where they committed the penalty and got taken back. So as poorly as they played, they're down 14-7 to a really good team. So I think had it been a regular season game, you get a touchdown there, it probably wasn't as disastrous as it looked, but that's not to say this is the performance they wanted.
Right, 14-7 to a good team, basically playing without their top two pass catchers, A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert, right?
Sure.
A.J. Green hardly played. So if you said, well, here are the Jags without Allen Robinson, Julius Thomas, and Mercedes Lewis, by the way, because their top two tight ends are gone. That's kind of the team. That's so, you know, Yeah, Jags were pretty much full strength last night, minus Roy Miller.
I just know in the NFL, when you watch enough games, there are often situations where a team's way up early, looks dominant, team gets a touchdown, and it's a different game in the third quarter than it felt for part of the second
half. No doubt.
First half. So if you look at it that way, then it was a situation where they're able to get back into it, and that should give you some hope that, okay, it's not like a few years ago where when they get dominated, they just can't compete. So, you know, I can't sit here and say this is how they wanted to play.
No.
But I think there are signs. I thought that drive particularly was good because they still weren't playing well in that game, but they did get the drive, and they had a couple of things they could go to. They went to Allen Robinson. He was hard to defend, and they had some stuff that they could do to rely on to get back into something. So if there's a small silver lining, which I'm not saying there's a very big one, maybe that's it.
Yeah, the silver lining is in 13 days, everything resets to zero, right?
Right.
And that's the biggest silver lining of all.
I was talking to somebody last night, and I said, you know, I've covered the league for, I guess it's my 22nd year. I can't remember ever in October sitting there going, man, if Headman for that preseason week three game, it'd be a lot different right now.
Understood. So, you know, understood. But
so in that perspective,
right, you can overemphasize it, but you can also underemphasize it. You can't bury your head in the sand and say, based on the recent year's track record, that this can't be a sign, because they don't have that kind of history.
No, you don't
up.
Want to get controlled on line of scrimmage in preseason week three, and that's where the concern lies. I don't think that's necessarily the way they will play on the line of scrimmages in the regular season.
All right, if you're on the line, we'll get to you coming up in just a moment at 641-1010. They're loaded. If you drop off, someone's going to take your spot. John Osier is here. We'll take your phone calls. Coming up next, what you got, Tony, before we go to break?
Just some news. The Detroit Lions, with all the issues the Jags have had on the interior line, releasing Jeff Schwartz, the offensive guard. He's had a lot of experience at guard tackle in this league, so he's available.
Tires, kick him. All right, let's do it. All right, Jaguars Today rolls on. It's a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hi, I'm Mike Ditka.
I'm Jeremy Mincy.
I'm Imani Toomer.
You're listening to 1010XL.
1010XL. 1010XL.
92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
That's a good team now. Listen up. That's a real good team. That's a challenging team. We will learn greatly from this experience, man. We got great aspirations. And this team will help us. This game will help us get to where we want to go. A lot of valuable lessons we'll learn from this game. But one, man, we can take from it is grit. Grit, persistence, resilience, when we keep going. That's what's so great about this team, man. So we look at it. We define the errors that we got to correct. Can we come back at it with grit and resilience? All those traits that we use for this game, we'll use to get better. One, two, three.
We matter.
All right, it's Gus Bradley, courtesy of Jaguars.com postgame last night. Gus is not going to change who he is. That is Gus, and that's who he's going to be, and he's going to focus on the process and the positive and what you can learn from these things. But, man, I tell you, I totally understand Jags fans feel like enough. Or when are you going to learn? You had 36 losing opportunities in the last 3 years to learn from those and, you know, develop better. And to me, that I don't know.
Gus sounds like a where the message to the team is not what the fans want to hear.
Yeah, so. Gus sounds probably like a believer in the idea that a win in the preseason mattered. Is what that speech sounded
right?
like the resilience,
the grit.
Of all these guys who aren't going to have a significant role on this football team when Green Bay gets here.
We'd all rather the Jags win in any time they take the field, right? But it just boils down to this. Play well with the ones and lose is preferable to play poorly with the ones and win because of guys. And that's the bottom line. The ideal is to play well with the ones and have the twos come in and they play well. Right. And everybody's happy and everybody wins. And that's the ideal. But you take the performance of the first team, which is what we hung our hat on for the first couple weeks. And I'm pretty sure you would agree. You felt better after each of the first two games than you did last night.
Right.
So the win is meaningless.
And on that front, that's the reason I don't think this game last night necessarily defines the regular season. I do think they're a team right now that if they're playing the Bucs, if they're playing the Jets, if they're playing a team that's not a five-time defending, you know, playoff team, I think unlike past seasons, I expect them to be able to go toe-to-toe and for the most part be as good as a team on the other side of the ball. Against the Bengals, I didn't think going in that they were necessarily on paper yet as good, experienced, a trial-by-fire-ready team as the Bengals were. So in that sense, the fact that the Bengals looked better than they did didn't surprise me. The fact that they looked so much better on the lines of scrimmage did concern you.
That is a concern. 641-1010, John Osier is here with us. Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey, Tyler Devitt. It's Jaguars Today. Let's get Darren and Nocatee next up. Thanks for hanging on, Darren. What's up?
Hey, guys. Now, I'm not overly concerned about last night either. I think they also feed us the Kool-Aid. The team feeds y'all what they want you to know and believe about these preseason games and about what we can expect. Were they as crisp last night? No. The fumble kind of set the tone kind of early and kind of got down. They seemed to just kind of bobble their way through it. But think about this, guys, and I'm asking y'all, and Osier, you would know more than probably anybody on the inside. How much were they looking at different things? Because I heard Gus Bradley say earlier in the week that they had a certain amount of plays that they were going to run basically no matter what. So they really, it was in some regards, didn't really care, but they do care. Don't get me wrong. They want to execute, so I understand that. There was some not so much executing last night in certain areas. So I ain't going to listen to your thoughts on that, guys.
All right. Thank you, Darren. I'll just quickly, John, because I want to get your opinion on this when we talked a lot about it. It does, you know, whatever the play call is, and it may not be ideal for that circumstance, right, and that look, and you are trying to look at certain things. When you get beat one-on-one,
sure,
that doesn't, the rest right of that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the play was when you just get manhandled on either side of the line of scrimmage or just get confused in coverage. You've got to, you know, you're going to get beat sometimes, and you do want to get some looks in the preseason because there is no penalty. It doesn't carry over
right
after that. But what do you think about that?
Again, as we said, I think the matchups on the line of scrimmage, there were cases where the Jaguars didn't look one-on-one like they were as good as the Bengal across from them. But I think this game was more evaluative on the part of the Jaguars than perhaps we wrote and discussed going in. And Gus did say a lot last week, hey, there are certain situations we're going to get guys' looks. We're evaluating. They did that with Ngakoue. They did that with Amukamara and Ramsey in the secondary rather than House and Amukamara, which might be the way. I mean, some combination of that may be the case in the regular season, but it did look more like they were doing things with evaluation and preseason than the regular season at times. Not quite as much of the quote-unquote dress rehearsal 100% as maybe we talked about going in.
Understood.
So, you know, and I don't think, as we talked about, that doesn't alleviate the concern on some fronts, but it probably wasn't quite as dress rehearsal preseason week three as some people anticipate.
And there are people that hear anytime after a game like that, anytime you say something that mitigates the result or what you saw, people say, oh, you're being an apologist,
no,
whatever.
Right.
No, there are legitimate sides, both sides. I think we all agree. They didn't want to play like that last night, no matter what
right
they were trying. And they're not going to tell you that was a good performance.
My sense is that Roy Miller probably plays a regular season
sure
game last night. I think what we're looking at with this team, when Roy Miller is in the game, they're a different run defense than when they're not. I don't think that's ideal to be that dependent on one guy, but over the last year or so, it has looked like that when he's not in the game, teams can run much better up the middle. That's a problem for this defense because this team needs to stop the run first.
All right, let's go to Mike in Mandarin up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys. You know, lines of scrimmage, definitely a concern, but more importantly to me was what I saw in Blake's. He looked almost a little bit like between year one and two with dropping the arm down. That was almost like a golfer who is trying a new swing. It's like he reverted last night. And I didn't notice it in the first two games. I hadn't been listening, so I don't know if you discussed it, but it was really obvious, almost like he was panicked a little bit and just reverted back. That would concern me. I think I'd be getting him with Tom House over the next couple of weeks just to kind of clean that up because it was interesting to see that. I'd take your comments off the air.
All right, thank you, Mike. I watching the broadcast last night, we had both the local and the national on, and I saw them doing something with the
right
the telestrator with his motion and his release, but we didn't have that audio on. What do you make of all that?
I got a couple of questions about that last night. I think this is something that you're going to hear discussed with Blake because it's been a topic that he's discussed over time. I don't think he's going to be a guy whose arm motion looks exactly the same week to week. I think it's something that Jaguars fans are going to have to live with. It's the way it is. I don't believe that he lost his fundamentals in 8 days.
Right. This wasn't an issue we were talking about after each of the first two preseason games.
As his last throw against, what was it, the Bucs, was as good a throw as he's made.
Sure.
And I thought, taking aside what the defense was doing to him, Blake Bortles, the way he looked as good against the Bucs as I've seen him look. So I don't believe that he's regressed fundamentally in 8 days.
All right, let's go to thank you for the call. Let's go to Mike in South Carolina checking in on Jaguars today. Good morning, Mike. Hello, Mike. All right, we gave you a shot. Let's go to, how about Bud in Pennsylvania? I love this, man. I love when the Jag fans are all over the place. Hi, Bud. How are you?
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Good.
I got two things that I want to talk. First, secondly, is the defense. They're not gelling together. They're going to have time. They got Green Bay coming in. So I'm going to hold that gelling part against the coaching, the way they coached them in the preseason. My number one thing, of course, is the players. And I feel like that, I don't know what the possibilities are as far as trading, our Jokel. I mean, to me, he's just a joke. I don't know if we can trade a tackle and pick up a guard or two, but I'd rather see in the fourth game, I'd like to see Shackley, start the whole game at guard, or if there's another guard that's higher up on the totem pole than that one. But I don't know the linemen that well to really judge them. I just know that I don't care for Jokel. They're going to get up underneath them. They're going to bull rush them like they did at the end. I just don't see it, and I want to know what the possibilities would be as far as trying to trade them. I know there's teams out there looking for cornerbacks that might have got hurt and what have you, and what the possibility are. We got a lot of cornerbacks, a lot of other players that possibly could bunch together to get a guard or two. But I do feel like we need to get a center or a guard. I'll take it off the air.
All right, Bud. Well, they're not going to get a center. They're very happy with Brandon Linder. I mean, that's where they are on that. Hard to know. Let me ask it to you this way, because we talked about this on the break. Your best guess as it stands right now, we can't know this,
sure,
but your best guess, is the starting five we saw last night going to be the starting five on opening day with the offensive line?
If I had to guess now, I would say it would be, simply because this has been clearly the most likely option all along. That said, I think they've got to look at it. They've got to look at the tape and be honest and ask themselves, is what happened to Luke Jokel because he was playing against elite level guy last night, or is this what he is at guard? He had looked better than that before, but
right, exactly.
But it wasn't good,
right? So, and the thing about Geno Atkins, great player, but he's not throwing guys on his back multiple times every half,
right?
The thing I've heard with Luke over the years at various times, 60 snaps. He had 57, 58 good plays,
right.
Had a couple of bad ones. I don't see A.J. Cann getting thrown on his back. I don't see Brandon Witt. I don't see most offensive linemen. It happens occasionally.
Sure.
Everybody gets beat, but it just seems like with Luke, they tend to come in bunches.
Right, and this is, if you look at it from the sense of against two good lines, meaning Houston in the final season game last year, and then last night, better lines than the first two they played in preseason, he's looked bad both times. So
right.
On that front, I don't think they'll stick their head in the sand and not look at it and see, is there something we need to do?
The Jets,
but I don't know what that decision at the end when they evaluate that will be. But it can't look like it looked last night very often.
Yeah, excuse me. Jets have a good defensive line. They don't have a dominant pass rushing unit, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not... No, they're very stout, and they have good penetrating, 3-4 defensive tackle types,
right,
that they have. But it's a different kind of player. Now, you could argue a guy like Sheldon Richardson is a similar type player to Geno Atkins, maybe not as good as Geno Atkins,
right,
those kind of things. But the Jets aren't known as a team, you know, that just has that J.J. Watt type guy that you're
right.
constantly. They're a good, solid defense, but they're not a dominant right. pass rushing defense. And, you know, the Bucs don't have that one guy that you point to either, that you say, wow, you really got to contain this guy. So it could be a case of step up in class, like you're saying. The problem is you're going to have to play those teams, you know, and Houston's on the schedule a couple times.
And I'm looking forward to finding out this week. I haven't had a chance to really look at how Beachum played. It looked from up top like he did okay. If that's the case, then I think they do have four that they feel good about. And that's a better situation than they were in last year. I've always been of the belief that if your issue is at one of the guard positions and you're good everywhere else in the line,
you're going to be okay.
That's supposed to be a fixable problem
right.
in the short term.
You can cover for that better than you
right.
could a guy on the edge.
So perhaps they were, you know, they leave Njoku there in a situation where they just wanted to see how he would do, and there's another plan for if that didn't work out. I don't know that, but I think we'll find that out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll find out. You're right. But if everything is, say, you know, Logman raves about Shatley's strength and all this stuff, and everyone does.
Sure.
I want a more powerful guy in there at the guard position. That, to me, is what, you know, you want your fire plug type bulldozers
right.
in there more than anything. We'll see if
I
they end up going that way.
That game was about evaluation. So if you're evaluating that, it wasn't very good.
Trevor Siemian is named the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. The defending champs will go with Trevor Siemian.
And why
gates.
Wouldn't he be, Mike?
Undrafted guy in 2015 came in. I've been reading about his story. Nothing spectacular, but the best of a bad lot so far in Denver.
I think
Paxton Lynch not quite ready
right.
to ascend.
I think he's the first starting quarterback out of Northwestern since Otto Graham.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, Otto Graham turned out pretty good.
He turned out fine.
Good luck to Trevor Siemian, all right, except when he comes here to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. John Osher's in studio with us from Jaguars.com. Fat Tony's here. Tyler Devitt is along. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Bud, thank you for the call. We'll try to squeeze in a few more on the other side. Take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today. As well. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. You know what? Week to week, you don't know how your team's going to play, what kind of performance you're going to get. The Dandy team, that's a different story, all right? You know what? Maybe if you had a track record of 6 years of success on the football field, you'd feel the same way, and hopefully the locals will get there. But Dandy has that track record. For over six decades, a local family, the Thompsons, created a company that has thrived and grown and been one of the shining businesses right here on the First Coast. Dandy sandwiches and subs and the Anytime Deli line as well. They've got the breakfast sliders going on. They've got the light lunch wraps. They've got such variety, always fresh, always delicious, always good for you, and always affordable. That's part of the Dandy formula that's kept them in business for over 60 years. So the next time you're hungry for food on the go, Kangaroo Express, Circle K, or anywhere that's smart, really. You're going to head right to their fresh case. You're going to pick up a Dandy or Anytime Deli sandwich and sub, whatever variety you like. Folks, anytime you're hungry, go out and do what I do. Makers of Dandy today.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jags completed a monster 18-point comeback in the 26-21 win over the Bengals last night. The first team offense struggled in the first half with the Bengals outgaining the Jags 163-90. Blake Bortles struggled, going 10 for 16 for 52 yards. But he says it's good to get the hiccups out of the way now.
To go through, been pretty good the first 2 weeks of preseason, and to have this, a wake-up call, whatever you want to call it, I think to just make sure everybody knows you have to be on it at all times in order to be successful in this league and move the ball.
Some notes from the game. Last night was the debut of Kelvin Beachum, who started at left tackle, with Luke Jokel starting at left guard. And rookie defensive end Yannick Ngakoue started ahead of second-year veteran Dante Fowler Jr. at Leo. Bradley said the move was to get Ngakoue reps with the first-team defense. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmon.
There'll be speed bumps. There is no doubt. There'll be speed bumps. And, to me, it's a challenge to this team. And now let's see how we respond. If it's anything like we respond in the second half, where we came out and we're down, 21-3 and came back and ended up winning the game, well, this team has that makeup. They're a very resilient team. And, so now we got to call on those character traits to come through for us in the next 10 days or so.
All right, there you go, Gus Bradley. they responded. A lot of guys who responded won't be on this roster.
Yeah, it would be a lot more palpable for fans to listen to that if it had been the first team that had done that.
So, absolutely. So you got to fall behind sometimes.
Right.
You know, and maybe you played it out last night.
Right.
They come back and win. I'm not saying that it looked like it was headed
that
way.
We don't have that.
Right.
What we have is a performance in the first half that was not at all like the early part of the first two games. So as we go, we'll spend the next 2 weeks with that as the final taste of the Jaguars left in the mouth.
Right. Keep in mind, the Jags' backup quarterback led them back, while Cincinnati's fourth-string quarterback is the one who threw the pick six that ultimately cost them the quote-unquote game.
See, I kind of thought the theme in the Ozone this morning would be, you know, I spent all last week answering questions about trading Chad Henne. I thought maybe the fans would want him to start now.
I don't
I didn't get that email.
I don't think it's gone that far.
Sure, no.
I thought Chad was okay. Chad's not ever going to be super efficient. You know, who knows? He could catch lightning in a bottle in any given week. But, you know, he's under 50% completion percentage. But I thought he actually showed some pocket awareness last night. You know, made a few plays. And nothing you want to have to rely on. There's
he's
no going to
be the backup, and they're going to keep three quarterbacks.
Just play him in the
red
zone.
That's the quarterback situation.
Is that it?
Just play him in the red zone. Wasn't that solution 2 years ago? Blake's
Oh, gosh.
He was so
Blake's
bad.
Not good in the red zone. Let's throw a put
they
want
a two-platoon quarterback.
Yes. Not going to happen. All right. Tyler shared a GIF with me. It still bothers me that they're called GIFs, of the play that we saw Gio Bernard score on. And Josh Evans, obviously. I mean, it was a situation where it looked like when the tight end crossed and you had the two safety, you had Cyprian on the outside, you had Evans to the inside, and the tight end crossed in front of Evans. It seemed like, in hindsight, should have just let him go. He's going right to Cyprian, and Evans, if he stayed in his spot, he still had a pulling guard come over there and whack him. But and that's an issue because there's no recognition from anybody in the linebacker core on that play. But it happened. It does, you know,
the guard was thrilled. Like watching Josh flash in front of him, he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he was going the wrong way, and he tried to turn around at the last second. This guy's like, free shot, free shot, free shot. All right.
Well, as we talked about during the break, that's a deal where Gus and Todd Wash last week talked a lot about Gibson's field awareness, meaning to Sean Gibson's field awareness.
Right.
And what he brings, even when he's not making plays, there's a situation where your third-team free safety's in the game with Peyton Thompson out. I would guess that the Jaguars coaches would think that Deshaun Gibson would have made a better play on that ball. At the same time, sometimes you play with reserves.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's going to happen during the regular. Look, they're playing without A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert and several others last night. So Cincinnati's like, hey, you want to compare?
That probably points to why they like Gibson so much a little bit, too.
No question.
So.
Yeah, no question. Fred Taylor talked about it a lot. He goes, that's one guy I'm not worried about. Seen him make plays, knows where to be, not worried about Gibson when he's on the field. They're fine. Tony, we can't get through all of them because we got so much feedback today, but the question today, just basically, what was your reaction, good or bad? Give us a little sample of what we received today, if you
Here's what we got from Johnny. The good, Cindric Marks has not lost a step. The bad, we still have 2 weeks to fix left guard. From Dr. Duvall, Aaron Rodgers must really be looking forward to his week one matchup. From Show Stealer, TJ looked really good besides that really bad fumble. Talking about Yeldon, hashtag positivity. From Black Dog Express, the good, Chad looked better than Blake. The bad, Chad looked better than Blake. From Jarrell, I'm disappointed by how the mistakes of the past showed up in primetime. Hashtag young no more. And from Demetrius, it was a frustrating display, but I don't think it is necessarily a prerequisite of this season ahead. Hashtag keep calm.
Huh. All right, I'm just looking at a blurb I caught out of the corner of my eye. Sean McGuire back at practice already for Florida State? Is that expected that quickly? I thought I saw that come across the bottom of the screen as far as that goes. Mark Sanchez, not long for Denver, is he?
Probably not.
Right. I mean, at this point, I think they're going to go with Lynch as the backup.
Well, the comments after the game last week where he was like, I blew an opportunity. And you could almost hear him saying, bye-bye.
Yeah, two fumbles will do it in that circumstance. He needed to put a little distance between himself. So they're going with the younger, cheaper alternative. And Trevor Siemian, speaking of younger, cheaper alternatives.
John Hosier, you know what you're getting at?
I was thinking about it, and I thought better. When's the last time you've been called the younger, cheaper alternative?
I've been called the cheaper alternative, but I haven't been called younger in a while. You know, I'm looking at this Broncos quarterback whose face is on SportsCenter.
Yes.
And I just get this feeling that he got the call this morning, hey, you're starting. He was like, cool.
Yeah. Hey, happy 13th birthday.
Really?
That's an amazing present for me. Young guy.
And he's calling his mom going, Mom, you're not going to believe it.
Right, it's made the Broncos.
I'm starting.
No, the team that won the Super Bowl, that team, yes, yes. Oh, I play for them now.
And the response is, yes, this is Trevor.
John, we may get a chance to speak with you briefly on Thursday, but you'll be traveling on Wednesday with the team up to Atlanta. Not going to, or I'd say we're not going to see anybody. Is there any value to throwing out the first guys for series to get a better feeling in, you know?
I don't think you're going to see the first guys, meaning the first team in mass. I mean, I don't think you're going to see A-Rob or Bortles. I wonder about the left side of the line, if you would want to see Beecham and Jokel just to see some more reps, something. Or have you seen enough? So I think that's a little bit of a question. As soon as I say that, I anticipate sitting in the press box in Atlanta, looking down and seeing the entire second team with Brandon Allen starting at quarterback.
Right. You think Brandon Allen will start the game?
Yeah, because I don't see any point with Chad.
Gotcha.
You know what he is. He's not going to gain very much from playing
gotcha.
That game.
Right.
I think you see Miles Jack. I think you see some guys like that. I think Miles is the guy who could benefit a lot from it because he could be on the field calling it, seeing it. Maybe you look at him outside in some spots to see what he can do. But as much as there's an instinct of and Blake talked about it last night. Yeah, he wants to play because you want to get that bad taste out of your mouth. In the NFL in preseason these days, they don't do that in week four.
No, rarely. Right. Do they do that? He did it last year, but that was a different circumstance, right? I mean, younger guy, you weren't coming off a 35 touchdown season,
right?
All those kind of things in there, hadn't played nearly as much football.
I'll say this: as much as you didn't like the feeling of first team offense, I don't want to see Bortles, A-Rod, and Hearns,
right? Because you're probably going to against Falcon backups anyway, and what is that going to prove?
As bad a taste as that was, don't you kind of think that over the first 4 weeks that offense is going to be okay? I don't know on a game to game basis, but I don't worry about the offense on that front just based on last night.
All right, Johnny O, we appreciate you coming in today. Safe travels up to Atlanta.
And I'm sure we'll talk before then, Mike.
I would imagine we will. Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold here on Jaguars Today, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. From revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between, Wild West Guns and Gold meets or beats any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Guns4Jax.com. That's guns, the number 4, JAX.com online, or visit them on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for our friends at Wild West Guns and Gold, our longtime Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. For John Osier, check him out at Jaguars.com and on Twitter at John Osier. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, and for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey, wrapping things up for Jaguars Today. Appreciate all the feedback from the fans, listeners out there today. We'll have plenty more of that. Jeff Loggeman in tomorrow. Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union on Wednesday, and on we go throughout the week. Midday Chalk coming up next right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.